Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? Come on, good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? Come on, come on, come on. Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? You see, the reason why I asked three times is because we're blessed to be here. We're blessed to have the opportunity to be able to praise His name together. Come on, if you believe that, just clap your hands. If you believe that, come on, somebody make a noise. Come on, somebody lift Him up, because it's in your praise that things are broken, okay? It's in your praise that things are falling off, all right? So one more time, if we can give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Y'all feeling good? I'm feeling good. Today's a great day. We're ready. We're ready. Hallelujah. Come on and repeat after me. Say,
oh, hallelujah.
He's amazing, isn't he? He's been so good to me that I have the opportunity to praise his name. I have the opportunity to glorify him. Hallelujah. Sing this with me. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you.
My heart is full.
My heart is full. My heart is full.
Sing, I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Come on, one more time. Sing that out.
Lord is my strength. Say it. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes, let's go. Thank you, Jesus.
Joy to the world. The Lord is better.
your strength today, God. We thank you for your presence, Father. Just start singing to him. Just start praying to him if you have a spiritual language. Start.
Come, God, this place and fill the air. Oh,
It's all about you. It's all about you. Sing it out.
The blood of Jesus paid for it all. Amen. You know, it's amazing. There are actually groups out there that are teaching, well, Jesus can help you just this much. And then you're going to need this, and you're going to need that, you're going to need this. Listen, I want you to know Jesus has it all. Amen. Well, you know, that's good religion. Nope. Jesus is alive and well. Whatever you need, Jesus is able to perform. He is a good God, amen? And he loves you with an everlasting love. And so today, on your way back to your chair, can you meet five or six folks you don't know? Please don't go sit down. Don't just go sit down. Go meet somebody you don't know and say, good morning. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Come on, Bruce, go find somebody.
preview.
To settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
What do you think you're doing, Pastor Dan?
Decorating the tree.
Why are you decorating it?
I mean, it's kind of like, I love decorating trees, and I just get really involved.
That's cute.
Yeah. So, sorry.
Have fun with that.
Oh, hey. Look at my halo.
Nice.
Hey, family. December 23rd, we are celebrating Christmas at 9 and 11 in Ithaca at 11 o'clock. Make sure you invite your friends and your family, and let's celebrate Christmas together. Oh, and guess what? We're also going to be having Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock right here. So make sure you still invite friends and family. Let's light some candles. And something new we're doing this year is we're decorating cookies. So come early at 6 o'clock and let's have fun as a family.
We have an incredible opportunity for you to grow in your faith. It's called our Next Step Classes, and these will train you to grow each and every day. Each campus offers Next Step Classes, and if you would like to find out what's offered at your campus, go to histabernacle.com/next steps.
Awesome. Well, good morning, family. It's a great day to be in God's house. If you are a guest with us, we just want to welcome you. So, family, could we put our hands together for our guests that are with us today? We're so thankful that you would come and join us. If you have not yet received a guest packet, would you just put your hand up? And we have an awesome team that wants to get that to you right in your seat. So if you would just keep your hand up if you have not yet received a guest packet. And for everyone who you are a guest in the house, right after service, we have what we call guest reception. And it's through the door, my left, your right, where we have coffee and we have some snacks. We want to get to know you, get to know your name, and just welcome you for coming to be with us today. If you're watching on live stream, we want to welcome you. We love you. It's going to be good. And then as we saw on the video, we have our Christmas services coming up. And you know what's awesome is that it's great to invite people, but it's even better when you can put something in their hand. And so right after service, as you make your way out, these will be accessible to you. Take some, hand them out at work, hand them out at school, wherever you are. It's so encouraging. I love them. They look great. And it's all about our Christmas service. And then last but not least, tonight we have Awaken Monthly, and it is our ugly sweater party, which is always my favorite of the year. I'm excited to see who's going to beat Sam Moss, because Sam Moss was ugly last year. So I am excited for tonight. Awaken, for those of you who don't know, it's our young adults ministry. It's ages 18 through 30. Tonight, it starts at 6 p.m., and we have childcare. So if you're a parent and you want to come hang out, don't let anything stop you. It's going to be great. But for now, I'm going to hand over to Pastor Rhonda.
Good morning. I love being in the house of God. It is my favorite day of the week when we get to come together and be in the presence of God. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, we at His Tabernacle are a tithing church. We believe in the Word of God. I want to remind you before we go too far that we have the Christmas envelopes ready and prepared for you to bring your gifts for Jesus. In all of our giving, we give because He first gave. He is the giver, and so we respond in giving. But we want to make sure in our giving this year that we make Jesus first and that we don't forget Him. So as you leave today, make sure you bring one of these with you. We're going to be taking that offering on the Christmas Sunday where you're able to bring your gifts to the King. So make sure you take one of those. Prepare as a family what gift you're going to give the King Christmas Sunday morning. And then I want to refer back to the Word of God always, Malachi 3. It says in verses 10 through 12 that the blessing of God is preceded by tithing. It's not an automatic. It's not you get saved and then the blessings of God show up. In Malachi 3:10, it says, let me read it to you from the Word of God. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much for you, so much a blessing. So tithing precedes blessing. So in this house, we are a family of tithers. And that then secures blessing and open heaven for our life. And it doesn't stop there. Tithing precedes the devourer being rebuked because that is phenomenal. When the devourer tries to come in, one of the scriptures says, when you don't tithe, it's like putting your money in your pocket with holes in it. And that's what happens. It's like the devourer is taking your money. But tithing precedes the ability to rebuke. For Jesus, you don't even have to do it. It says He will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So blessing and the rebuking of the devourer is preceded by our tithe. And that is why we tithe according to the Word of God. First of all, it's our love and obedience to His Word, but it brings such a blessing in our lives and that He will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. So no devouring in our lives. It can't even happen. We're shielded from it. Stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. Right along with us.
the Lord. How many of you are glad you're born again? Well, that wasn't too encouraging. I said, how many of you are glad you're born again? Amen. You're born again? You betcha. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm excited that Jesus is my Savior. I'm excited that I'm born again, washed by the blood, and that if I die today, I don't have a question in my head where I'm going. Amen. Today, if you have a question in your head where you're going, we want to make sure by the end of this service you don't have that question any longer. Because you can have a confidence knowing that if you take your last breath, you're going to heaven. That is through salvation and the blood of Jesus. Amen? This whole year, this is the year of... I had a great divine connection this last week. And my wife and I we took a few days and just rejuvenated after our flood scenario. And we were down in Florida, glory to God, and riding the Harley Davidson along the ocean. It actually was very cold. Just want to let you know that. It was very cold. I know here you are 17, but there it was 40. So that's cold on a motorcycle. So, but we rode. And so it did get 61. And so we're riding, and we if you don't know, we have a leadership training every Tuesday from noon to 1 for all leaders. It's free. We've been doing it for almost 5 years. And this last week, Pastor Cody was training, and we wanted to hear it because it was a good training. And so we pulled over into this park down on the riverside. And we're just in the park watching the live stream, and a man pulled his motorcycle in behind. And I got up after the whole thing was over. I'm walking over to my bike, and, bikers are just friendly anyway. So I said, hey, how you doing? Went and shook his hand, and we start talking, and it's amazing how people open up their hearts, isn't it? And he said to me, yeah, I'm 75 years old. Or no, he said, I'm 77 years old, and I didn't have cancer. Now cancer's come back, and he starts sharing with me how cancer just came back into his life. And I said, I would love to pray with you, man. I know God can do a miracle in your life. And I said, Jesus loves you. He goes, well, I'm Jewish. And I said, that's awesome. I said, you're God's chosen people. I like you a lot, man. And I said, God's got great plans for your life. And I said, I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. And I believe Jesus is going to heal you. And when you get the report back, you'll know who to talk to. And he says, I feel goose pimples all over me. And I said, yeah, that's the Holy Ghost. I said, get ready. So I grabbed the hold of him, and I started praying for him in the name of Jesus and cursing the cancer in Christ's name. How many of you know that Jesus is bigger than the thing called cancer? Amen. Jesus is bigger than cancer. Jesus is bigger than anything. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And man, I got done praying for him. And I just looked at Rhonda and I said, divine connection. Isn't that exciting? I'd never met him before. But yet one day in a park, because Pastor Cody was doing a training, we met that man, prayed for that man. I have no question that God healed him of cancer. When he gets his report back, I believe tomorrow, I know he'll have a name to call on, and his name is Yeshua. His name is Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about this marks of a disciple, that you can actually look at somebody and tell whether they're a disciple or not. How many of you know that it's important to be able to tell that you're somebody? It is true. Come on now. If you say, I can't go anywhere. Let's just move forward, because somebody was saying, who was it? I was at staff Christmas party last night, and they said, you go on so many rabbit trails, Pastor. Do I do that? Oh, they said squirrel. I'm going to try to stay on track today. Is that all right? So the mark of a disciple, we've already started talking about it, is number one, you've made Jesus Christ your Lord. Because he's your Lord, you decide to obey. Not because you have to, but because you love him. And because of that, you're going to be somebody that's going to, that's right, in all seasons. See, it's important for us to recognize that one thing leads to another. I almost sang that song. One thing leads to another. Squirrel, sorry. It's going to be a great day. Knowing and recognizing the marks of a disciple are important because you're able to look at your own life and say, am I really a disciple of Christ? A lot of people believe there's something that they're not. My father worked at a mentally handicapped community decades ago, many people would send their mentally handicapped children to these places. And it was called the Fernal School. And my father worked there. And there was a man there. His name was Duck. Duck was 82 years old. At 82 years old, he walked like a duck, talked like a duck. He actually believed without any question he was a duck. So, I mean, I liked him. He's a great guy. So I'd walk up and say, hey, Duck, how are you? And he started talking to you like the... I mean, it was great. As a kid, man, Duck was awesome. But I want you to realize that as much as he believed he was a duck, he wasn't. Amen. He was a human being. And you see, many people that go to church believe they're born again or believe they're Christian, but they're... The mark of a disciple means you're able to look at your life and be able to judge yourself. The Bible says, judge yourself, lest you be judged. There's a need for us to look at ourselves and say, am I really a disciple of Christ? Or do I just not want to go to hell? Now, if there's anybody intelligent in the room, how many of you don't want to go to hell? How many of you don't want to go to the lake of fire, which is worse than hell? Amen. Remember, the hell gives up its dead to the lake of fire. Anybody with a brain in their head don't want to go to the lake of fire. Can I hear an amen or oh my? It doesn't matter whether you really love God or don't love God. It's just a really good choice. Problem is that this is not about that get out of hell free card. Christ has not called us to get out of hell free. This is about you and I being disciples of Christ. This is about you and I living for Christ. It's about you and I showing his life. This is about you and I actually allowing God to live through us to make a difference on this planet. Because you're here and I'm here because God's got a purpose for us. And that is there are certain people that only you and I are ever going to be able to share the gospel with. There are certain people that you and I are going to need to not only bring to salvation, but you and I are going to need to disciple because a true disciple always disciples. 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 You're a little slow this morning. A true disciple always disciples. Turn to somebody and say, a true disciple always disciples. This is important. We got to get this in our spirit. Christianity took a shift many years ago. In fact, way many, many years ago, back with Constantine, back in the days of the book of Acts, everybody was a minister, which means we all were sharing the gospel of Jesus. We all were discipling. When Constantine came into rule, he made Christianity the national religion. And what happened was we then created what was called a papacy and a pew. A papacy was that's the clergy. We're in control. We're going to tell you what to do. We're going to tell you how to do it. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And actually, during the Dark Ages, they actually took the scriptures away from the people. There's a big shift in what's happened now in today's Christianity, today's following of Christ, is we have a lot of people that come to church on a Sunday but are not true disciples of Christ, which means this. They literally have never made Jesus Christ their Lord, only their Savior. They don't obey God. They just obey God enough to make sure they get to heaven. They have no love for God because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And there is no fruit in their life of not only repentance, but also of actual being a believer. I shared with you a few weeks ago how when they did a study, Christians and non-Christians were only 2-3% different in everything they did. That include how they walked, how they talked. That include where they went. That include the movies they watched. That included even the giving that they give. That Christians and non-believers were pretty much the same. That must change. Can I hear an amen? For you and I to truly make a dramatic difference in our community, we cannot be like the unbelievers. Be ye separate, the Bible says. Come out from among them. There's a knowing and understanding that we've got to occupy till he comes. We live here. Can I hear an amen? But the Bible calls you peculiar. Now turn to somebody and say, I know you're peculiar. Come on, you got to be nice about that now. The Bible says you're a peculiar people. Why is that? Because you're different. You're different. You don't live the same way they live. We're not better than them. We're not better than them. Jesus loves them exactly the same. But man, we live different because we love God and they don't. There's the difference. Everything is based in love. And so the necessity for you and I to recognize this brings us to the position where we can actually look at our lives and ask ourselves a question on whether or not we are truly the disciple. Are the marks in us, or do we need to try to fabricate them? You know, the last one that we're talking about today is that Christ has called you to produce fruit. He didn't call you to be fruity. Amen. Bunch of nut flakes in churches sometimes, you know what I mean? He's called you to be fruitful. That means productive. You know what I love about God is that God created you to have impact. He created your life to make a difference in somebody else's life. He created your life that when you take your last breath, they're going to miss you. Amen. Now listen, I've done a lot of funerals in my ministry, in my years of ministry. And there are literally funerals that I've gone to. One in particular, I went to this one funeral, and he was like in his mid-70s when he died. There was probably 6 people in the congregation. And I'm standing there, and I said, would anybody like to share? You know, because I ran out of information since I didn't really physically know him. And so his daughter came up, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is awesome, man. Somebody can get a little bit more personal. And she stood up, and she said, well, I'm glad he's dead. This is probably the best thing for our whole family. And I'm thinking, this is awkward. Do you want to know why it was awkward? Because that man wasn't created by God to have people say that at his funeral. He was created by God to be a man of impact, to where generationally, in a positive dimension, not a negative dimension, that they'll look at his life and say, I want to be like my father. I want to be like my grandfather. Have you heard about my great-grandfather? He was a great man of God. He led our family. He walked the ways of the Lord. You see, you and I have been called to make impact. We've been called to bring increase. We've been called to be productive in the Lord. Turn to someone and say, you've been called to be productive. Tell somebody else, don't be a slow. The very DNA inside of you is production. The very DNA inside of you is increase. It is the DNA that God placed within mankind, that he put within you and I as humans, because we have been created in the very image of God. God himself is a fruit producer. God himself is productive. He is the God of increase. He is the God of impact. And he's placed that same principle within every single one of us who are called sons and daughters. I can prove that to you. Genesis 1:28. Then God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Turn to someone and say, multiplication is different from addition. We have folks that live in subtraction, division, never addition and multiplication. And God wants to make a shift in you. Why is that? Because as his disciple, the very nature of our life is not subtraction or division, but addition and then multiplication. God wants to bring impact through you to other individuals. The Bible says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it. You see, you are a leader. Turn to someone and say, you are a leader. Everybody in this room is a leader. Some of you will lead many people. Some of you will lead a few people. But every one of you have been called to be a leader. He's called you to be fruitful and multiply, not add. Then he said, I've called you to be a leader to govern. The very DNA inside of every single believer is that we have been called to bring forth fruit. We have been called to be producers of life. We have been called to produce not only life of God, but also life while we're here on this earth. You and I have an amazing call in our life. John chapter 15, verse 8 says this. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. Let me say it again. John 15, 8. When you produce much fruit, how many of you know that much is more than little? Amen. Addition is good. Can I hear an amen? But multiplication is the mind of God. God said, when you produce much fruit, this is a mark that you are my disciple. And the quandary within the body of Christ is that the majority of people and churches never produce fruit. The average church in America, 90% of the people do 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Now, thank God that's not the way it is here. Can I hear an amen? We are fruit producers in this house. Amen? Turn to someone and say, don't be a slow. Come on, you got to draw that out. Don't be a slow. That was so good. Did you do that, Carla? That was so good. You and I have been called to produce much fruit, not only in the factor of seeing people born again, but also in the fact of being a worker in the kingdom of God. You see, every one of us, because we're part of the family, every one of us have skills. Amen. Some of us have different skills than others. We know the parable of the talents. 1-5, 1-2, 1-1. It doesn't matter what gifts you've been given. Are you using them? Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, that's the call of God. It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. Every one of us have been called to produce much fruit. That is, every single day doing something for the Lord. Can I hear an amen? You see, it's an awesome thing being a disciple of Christ. How many of you are a disciple of Jesus? Shout to me real quickly, what are the benefits of being born again? King's kid. Healed. Freedom. Peace. Joy. What? Protection. Love. Joint heir in Christ. Prosperity, glory to God. What's that? Life eternal. Favor. Mercy. Huh? Authority. Love. Grace. Listen now, when you start really looking at what God has given us by allowing us to be his children of God, listen, that's important for you and I to realize. John chapter 1, it says, we've been given the right to be called children of God. As you and I have been given the right to be called children of God, it opens up eternity's blessings in our life. You are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. A joint heir is different from an heir. A joint heir says, whatever Jesus has, you have. You see, we have been so blessed, and we are so rich. Well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of money. Money has never made anybody rich. Richness has nothing to do with your bank account. It has to do with your head and your heart. Amen? That's important for you to get in your spirit. Because people that are looking at money as wealth, listen, I've met many, many wealthy people that are in extreme poverty. Their poverty in their heart, their poverty in love, their poverty in health, their poverty in peace. They live a life, no matter how much money they got in their bank, they live a life of not prosperity, but of death. You and I need to realize this. This is about our own heart and our own head. I am thanking God that I have the mark of a disciple because I am prosperous. I'm prosperous with the joy and the mercy of God. How many of you need mercy? Come on now. How many of you need mercy? How many of you sinned once, twice, three times, five times? How many of you sinned the same thing 10 times? Ooh, you're going to hell. No, I'm just kidding. See, this is where you and I recognize how blessed we are, how rich we are. God's given us that authority and that power in Jesus' name. We're not here weak. We're here strong. We're not here making it by. We are made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all how you see. You see, I'd rather see through the eyes of the Word of God and being a son of God, knowing what God has for me. You see, I'm rich. The reason I could share with that man who was standing there in Florida with me that day, just this week, why? How could I share? Because I've got something he needs. I love what Paul said. Peter and John. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. You see, you and I have life inside of us, and we have life to give. That is the benefits that we have. Listen, the greatest fruit we have is when you give it away. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. The person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. You and I have all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians chapter 5. We have the very personality of God dwelling inside of us. We have so much to give away. I love what it says in John chapter 10. As freely as you've received, freely give. How many of you have the joy of the Lord that is your strength? That means you got joy to give. How many of you had your sins washed away by Jesus Christ? You're born again. You've got salvation to give. Can I hear an amen? How many of you, man, in the midst of a hard time, peace came over you and walked you through? Can I hear an amen? You have peace to give. How many of you, man, you got healed in your physical body where there was no other way? God set you free. Come on now. You have healing to give. Come on. Some of you were in bondage to the devil and an addiction, and God set you free. How many of you were set free? Can I hear an amen? You've got freedom to give. You see, we have so many benefits. We have been so overwhelmingly blessed. We have so much fruit in our life. There's nothing more cruel than keeping the fruit to yourself. Amen. You know, this week as I was preparing for things, I don't cry. I'm not like a crier kind of guy. No, really, I'm not. My children only ever saw me cry. I had to put a dog down one time. And when the doctor gave that dog a shot and I watched him take his last breath, I'm talking like I didn't cry, I blubbered. I came out to the truck blubbering, and my boys had never seen that before, and they're staring at me. But you know, I don't cry a lot, but there's some things that just grip me. And this week, as I was preparing for the message, I was on YouTube and I saw something that gripped me, and I want to share it with you. That's the cue.
It does exist. Although some people that are colorblind may not even know it. Our lives are the same way. We are dead to our sins until someone shares with us the good news of the gospel.
Put them on. How does it look?
Weird.
Look at the balloons.
They have new glasses now
can
that
you
if you're colorblind,
with our eyes now, baby?
You can now see color.
What colors you see?
Those.
You see colors now? Now you have those colored glasses, baby. Turn around. What about the flowers in the house?
Oh my goodness.
Doesn't look like mud. I haven't seen it forever. The trees look so... They don't even look real.
Here's a man who is colorblind, is in his 60s. His whole life. But he put on a pair of glasses and now is able to see color. You saw his reaction. And, you know, there's a whole thing of him on YouTube. I'm sitting in the kitchen down in Florida crying. Hope my wife's not coming out. Why? Because there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody come to light. The greatest fruit that we have is we've got an answer. His name is Jesus. It's not about religion. It's about one, who loves us so much that he decided to come down here, be born of a woman, a virgin, to grow up. And man, he decided this much. He says, I'm going to show them how to live. I'm going to show them how to be successful. I'm going to show them how to be blessed before my Father. He says, I'm going to be willing to die, for no man took my life. I gave my life. And they nailed him on an old rugged cross as he was stretched across. You knew that, he said, the Bible in the book of Hebrews declares that he counted it joy to die. Why? Because he saw you and I lost in our trespasses and sin. He saw us lost, wandering around with very, very unclear eyes. We could only see black and white. But God has greatness for everybody. God wants you to see so that you can truly see. Your eyes are the very gateway of your life. God wants you to open, he wants to open your eyes that you come out of darkness into his marvelous light. That green will no longer be just green, but it's the God-given green. Man, and all of a sudden, you accept Jesus as your Savior and everything changes. How many of you were changed when you accepted Jesus as your Savior? No, I'm not talking like you had a religious movement, you know. I'm talking like Jesus, literally. It was almost like someone gave you those glasses. You were colorblind. They gave you glasses, and now you can see. Amen. The greatest gift we have is to let people see. John chapter 15, verse 16. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've chosen and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I want you to know this, that Jesus has people just for you. You see, the greatest fruit that you can give somebody is the ability to see. The greatest fruit you can give somebody is all of a sudden everything is just dark. There is no color. There is no life. And now the trees come alive. The sky is not the same color blue anymore. And man, the joy of the Lord is starting to overtake you now. Come on. Remember when you were born again? It was almost like 10,000 pounds came off your shoulders. When you confess your sins and he took all of your sins and washed them and threw them as far as the east and the west and remembers them no more. You remember that day that he changed your life from the inside out. You remember the day that he became your Lord and your Savior. Man, we have the greatest gift and the greatest fruit you and I can give is the fruit of love. What is that love? When you love somebody, you want them to know that Jesus sets people free. Religion is amazing because everybody equates this with religion. Well, you went to church today. Well, you're a good religious person. No, no, no. I'm not religious at all. I love God. I'm not religious at all. I know him. He changed me. Like I said to that man, when you go to the doctor and he already is presuming it's cancer, I said, when you go to the doctor and there is no cancer, you'll know who to talk to. Why? Because God is good all the time and never bad. Amen. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights, James chapter 1. You and I have the greatest thing to give away, and the greatest thing that we can do in producing fruit is to literally start filling our baskets with people. The only thing you can take to heaven is somebody else. Can you imagine the fruit of your basket being full? And the Bible says, not just filling your basket, not just giving away the fruit of righteousness, not just giving away the salvation message, but filling your basket with people. Man, your brother, your mother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt. Man, these people, these friends you partied with, but now are sitting with you in the house of God, lifting their hands and worshiping the same God that you love. There's no greater joy than sharing the gospel. All of a sudden, they can see. But it's not just about you being a disciple. What I love about this fruit shall remain is that God is calling you and I to disciple others. The people you lead to the Lord, man, you've got to start spending time with. You've already gone through rock solid faith, but they haven't. You bring them to the rock solid faith. Boy, that was a big amen, wasn't it? I already took it twice. Take it three times. You can't lose. It's the word of God. All of a sudden, you start discipling people. You know, I disciple a group of men. Not every day, but I'll send them a note. What'd you get into devotions today? Hey, how you doing with God today? Hey, let's hang out today. I disciple them. What does that mean? I'm trying to take them from just being Jesus being their Savior to now Christ is being their Lord. Now listen, how am I doing this? I'm not doing this by shoving the gospel down their throat. I'm doing it by living it in front of them. You see, people know how to replicate and duplicate when they see you. When you and I are true disciples of Christ, they want to be like us. Now listen, it happened again. We're at the mall yesterday. And someone walked up to my wife and said, "You are so beautiful." She says, "It's so awkward." But she is really beautiful. Come here. Isn't she? She's really beautiful. Jesus. She's so cute. She comes out and she said to me, "It's got to be Jesus." Well, I said, "Honey, you could be uglier if you want to be." But honestly, it's amazing that people are drawn to people. And man, when somebody is a true disciple, they're drawn to you. Because there's something different about you. They can't understand it. They don't even know why they're drawn to your life. They don't really, listen, they don't understand what it is about you that's different than they are, but they want to know why. Because there is a reason. What is the reason? Because they want life. They're only seeing colorblind. And God has called you to put a pair of glasses on called Jesus, where they can see life all over again. Can I hear an amen? You and I are called to produce fruit. Shout, "I'm producing fruit." Listen, I truly believe this. And the average church in America only sees one soul saved an entire year. One soul. I thank God we see more than that in our kids' ministries. Amen. But here's the truth. Can you imagine if every one of us truly understand the principles of being a disciple, where it's not just getting saved and going to heaven, but recognizing that God has called us to not only be a disciple, but to disciple. Can you imagine if every one of us lead one soul, just one person, to Jesus every single year? Just one soul, and we disciple them, and the fruit remains. What happens to God's kingdom in 1 year? Come on, I can't hear you. What happens to God's kingdom in 1 year? It doesn't add, it multiplies. Can you imagine if we actually get this? Somebody said just recently, you preach the same message every single week. We'll get it. We'll move on. It's an old story. This church hired, they were looking to hire a new preacher, and they got a bunch of resumes. And what they do is they look at your resumes, choose out of the resumes, then you come in and you preach. So this guy came in on a Sunday morning, and he stood up, and he went, and his sermon was this: "For God so loved the world, wow, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Oh, they liked that sermon. And that afternoon, they hired him as their pastor. The next, which was Sunday night, they had Sunday night service. He stood up, and his text was, "For God so loved the world." Next Sunday morning, now it's the second Sunday, he stood up and he said, "For God so loved the world." Sunday night came, "For God so loved the world." One whole month. The board pulled him aside because they said, "We made a bad decision. This is the only sermon he has." They said, "Pastor, you've got to move on from this message." He said, "I can't move on until you get it." I love to preach. But I remember once I had one of my mentors tell me, he says, "Some preachers love to preach so much, the people still never get it." I can preach for 2 hours at a clip, baby, no problem at all. Wow! I love you. I can preach, I love it. It is blood in my veins. But if you preach and people don't get it, then you've just wasted all your time. And you see, when I walked away from that man in Florida, I was high. I was so excited. I was so whoosh. I had the rush. Why is that? Because I was actually able to talk to him about Jesus. I was actually able to pray with him. Let me tell you something. You'll never be more excited than when you can start to talk to somebody about Jesus. When you start telling them how good he is. When you start sharing them how you were colorblind and now you can see. Now you can see 3D, baby. Come on, you can see it all. You're no longer restricted. You now get this whole thing about this God thing. This is not about church or religion. You get it now. He has changed your life, and now you start sharing it. And man, you just start getting pumped up. Why? Because God has changed your life. Listen, I've got glasses for you. I want you to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that it's not religion that will get you to heaven, but a relationship with God that will get you to heaven. And then they give their heart to the Lord, man. Then you start taking the time to disciple them, and now they start doing the same thing. You'll never be more excited. And the issue is this: this is normal to you. Turn to someone and say, "This is normal." So if this is not normal, then something's abnormal in your life. Let me say it one more time. If this is not normal, then something's abnormal in your life. Well, I'm getting old. Listen, I had a Bible school teacher. Her name was Sister King. She was 94, 95 years old. She would get on the bus after she retired. She'd been retired for many, many decades. She'd get on the city bus in Providence, Rhode Island, and ride the bus all day. Do you want to know why? Just to share Jesus with somebody. She didn't ride the bus because she needed to go somewhere. She rode the bus because somebody else needed to go somewhere. Amen? Sister Roberta Bedzik. How many of you know her, Sister Berta? Sister Berta, which was my wife's pastor, she's 90. She's up there. Do you know what she does all day? She puts flyers on telephone poles, and she's going around talking to people about Jesus. Why? Because she's still producing fruit. I want you to realize this. They're going to call you bad names anyways. I want to be liked by everybody. Wrong business. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they talk bad about me, Jesus said, they're going to talk bad about you. If they lied about him, they're going to lie about you. That was the good news. The great news is, if only one person doesn't go to the lake of fire because of you, it's worth it all. Amen. It's worth it all. So the question is, not that you haven't said the sinner's prayer. The question is, are you a disciple? And this is really the drive of all of us, is we must be disciples. We must be disciples. I can't hear you. We must be disciples. I didn't say perfect. Listen, if you need mercy, you know how to give mercy. Amen. Yeah, I won't. I have a question for you. Is Jesus your Lord today? Or is he just your Savior? Is it difficult for you to obey him? If he tells you clearly in his word to do something, and you're struggling with obedience, can I share with you what it's about? It's about how much you love him. For if you love me, keep my commandments. The more you love him, the more you're automatically going to obey him. And the more you love him, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you don't want to go to the lake of fire? That's good news. Some of you do. We'll have an altar call after. You see, you want to survive. You want to make it to eternity. As freely as you've received, freely give. Give somebody a set of glasses that take them from being colorblind to seeing the real world, that Jesus is good and that he loves you. Bow your heads with me this morning. I want to ask you two things. I'm going to ask you to make decisions on two levels today. Number one, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking you to join a religion. We actually want you to know God. I'm talking like K-N-O-W. It's not an impersonal experience. God wants you to know him. He wants you to walk with him and talk with him. He wants his word to become alive to you. Listen, this is real. This is a relationship, not a religion. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you want Christ in your life, I mean, you want Jesus. You want what I'm talking about. You want those benefits and those blessings. You want Jesus. I'm going to ask you to make a decision today to choose Christ. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you shall serve. There's a choice to be made. Do I choose him or don't choose him? If whatever way you choose, you're still making a choice. Today, if you're in the room and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, yet you choose not to give your heart to Christ, you are making a choice. You're choosing to pay your own penalty for sin. Today, if there's anybody here that needs Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd like to receive him in your heart, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. With every head bowed and eye closed, mind your business. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. You can place it right back down. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on. Who cares who's beside you? You got to stand before God all by yourself. Come on, I'm going to count down. Real quick, get your hand up. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 2. Last call. Decision. And 1. The other thing I want to ask you about is this. Some of you have made Jesus your Savior, but either in a backslidden condition where now you've taken back his lordship and now you're living your own life, or you've never made him your Lord where you actually surrendered to him. Today, if you'd like to make Christ your Lord, not just your Savior, I'm not asking for salvation. You want to make him your Lord. You want to obey God. You want to be a true disciple of God. That's you. I'd like you to raise your hand up this morning. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. One of the things you're going to find about His Tabernacle Family Church is that not only do we want you to know Christ, but I'm going to keep pushing you to know Him more, to live for Him in a greater way. I had a lady say, I'm leaving the church. I said, why? She says, all you do is push, 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 push. And I said, oh, yeah? What? What's your problem? Well, she didn't want me to push anymore because she was having an adulterous affair with her husband, and every time she came to church, she was feeling conviction. Some people don't want to push because they don't want to get rid of this sin in their life. And I want you to know that sin in your life will always destroy you, for the wages of sin is death. Let Jesus be your Lord, baby. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to love the benefit package. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Not a little, but all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who forgives every sin and heals every disease. I love God. If you're a guest here, you're saying, what did I get myself into? I'll tell you what you got yourself into. A bunch of people who actually love God and not religion. We're sorry. Some of you, you're scared. I want you to know you need to come 3 times. Not once, not twice, but 3 times in a row. The first time you come is, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Second time is, I can feel this thing. Third, you'll never be able to go back to the quiet church or good day in your life. Amen. The reason is, heaven's not going to be quiet. When you and I see Jesus the first time, it's not going to be, hey dude, how are you? When you and I see Jesus in eternity, it's, woo! We're going to fall on our face. We're going to shout unto God. Because we're finally going to see face to face the one who changed our lives. It's an awesome thing. I am done. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you raise your hand to make Christ more Lord in your life. And also the young man who raised his hand for salvation. I'm going to ask you all to come. Just come. If you need prayer for anything, come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Come on, come on, come on, bring them up to the front. Amen. Just make your way to the altar. There's somebody here that will pray with you, encourage you, and strengthen you. This young man would like to receive Jesus. Amen. Congratulations, man. Congratulations. Father, I just speak blessing over your church, not my church. This is your church. These aren't my people, they're your people. God, and we thank you for the awesome privilege of being able to be called sons and daughters. And Lord, we thank you for the awesome opportunity to make you our Lord, to obey you, to love you, and to produce great fruit for you. Lord, let our lives be so filled with fruit that everybody who comes near us will say, I want to know God like they know God. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of being your child. In Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. We love you. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Make sure you start inviting people for Christmas services.